He feeds it into Fox. Fox drives it, plants, launches, off the rim. Barnes crashes, put back, missed at the rim by Keegan Murray, and the Celtics will win it! 101-100! The Kings had opportunities.
Yes, they did. But before we break this down and open up the phone lines for King Celtics, we're opening up the phone lines for your chance, your last chance at the VIP package, free fries, a booth next to your boys at Fieldhouse American Sports Pub today for the Natty, for the national championship, 916-339-1140. Right now, Simone, caller number
five.
Caller number five. Caller number cinco for your chance to get the VIP package, free fries, and sitting next to your boys while Chris beats me at shuffleboard.
That's right.
That is what's coming up. So right now, caller number five, 916-339-1140, 916-339-1140, 916-339-1140. If you want to be next to your boys,
it's your boy
tonight, Purdue, UConn in the swamp.
That's right.
Watching
where are they playing? Is it? I know the women were in Cleveland.
They're in Cleveland. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know where the guys are playing, actually. Is it San Antonio?
In a swamp.
Yeah, in a swamp.
That's where they're playing. And that's, I'm looking right here, Chris. I'm back on the menu. Philly cheesesteak, club sandwich, French dip. I know it's lunchtime, too. Somebody's getting hungry. Reuben sandwich, Southwest veggie wrap, barbecue chicken sandwich, steak sandwich. What else you got? Mac and cheese with a little bit of bacon in it. Chili cheese fries, quesadilla, rally nachos that Chris has already raved about. And, of course, you can get those wings and things like that. Call
it. I will.
Number five. Looks like Simone's got someone. All right, Chris. This Celtics game, and I was really torn on it and how people reacting to it, because this is the land of multiple things can be true. And the two-minute report came out, and Colby Jones, he got fouled. All right? He got hit in the face. I just was telling people, just stop, though. Like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
As soon as they took out the starters, okay, the Kings went on a run against the Celtics bench warmers, and they almost got it done. And it would have been nice for the standings and things like that. I get all that. But really, this is what we're doing. I just think it's a little bit, for lack of a better term, embarrassing to be complaining about a game where they literally took out their starters. I get that it was a foul, but that's just not a game I'm going to complain about, because Joe Mazzulla literally waved the white flag and allowed you to sneak in. It just is weird to me to complain about that. And I know it was a foul, but I'm just not complaining about that.
I mean, I wouldn't complain about it. I'm more on your side. I mean, fans are going to fan. There's nothing you could – I mean, fans are going to feel like that game was stolen from them. I would say you're right. I mean, the Kings were in a position where the only reason they were even close to winning this game is because, looking at it here, the Celtics subbed out all of their main guys with 6:42 remaining in the game. The Celtics were up 97-79. And the final score was 101-100. So the Kings pretty much went on, what is that, a 21-4 run to end the game. At the very least, the Kings did what they needed to do in that moment. They took advantage of the fact that the Celtics had their scrubs in. But yeah, ultimately, the Kings didn't deserve to win that game. The Celtics won that game three and a half quarters through it, and then essentially said, here, if you want that W and in your score column, go ahead. We have some extra ones
that's
that we can
I'm
play
saying.
With.
So it's crazy.
That's cute. If you guys want to go win the basketball game, we're going to win the spiritual game, I guess. It doesn't make a lot of sense to complain about it, because you were in a situation you probably shouldn't have been in the first place. But at the same time, again, fans are going to fan, and I understand why they would be upset at it. But I would personally be a lot more upset, and I hate to point fingers here, but to me, Keegan Murray had that game. Yeah. He had that game twice. He had the rebound that he let go of. He just didn't grab the ball, got stolen, and led to the Tillman tip or the Tillman, little half hook. And then I think that putback, you know, I don't think you're going to have a better opportunity than what Keegan Murray had. He was on a plane by himself. Mm-hmm. He was the only person at the level of that rebound. He had his shoulders squared, everything. It wasn't directly in front of the hoop. He had a bit of a tough angle, but you're not going to get a better look at a game-winning tip than what Keegan had. He completely smoked it, and yeah, put Colby in a spot to maybe get the game winner, and yeah, he definitely did get hit in the face, but yeah, I mean, the Kings had multiple opportunities within that to get the win, and ultimately they didn't deserve it, so it would have felt like a snuck-in win
so
anyway.
So weird.
Take it. Beggars cannot be choosers at this point, but yeah, it would have felt a little bit dirty.
From the 209, I was really curious to see how the Kings would have acted if they ended up winning that game, LOL. Yeah, it would have been so funny.
You just
funny.
Run to the locker room. You sprint to the locker room. But you say, we stole that one.
Right.
Stole it and get out of here.
Would Mike Brown have said, yeah, you know, appreciate Joe Mazzulla leaving their starters? Of course he wouldn't have said that. But
probably.
What a bizarre. You have to acknowledge
you
it.
You have to acknowledge
if they
it.
Want, and I don't know how much post-game sound came out if they acknowledged it on the other end. You have to acknowledge it. You can't just pretend like you came back against their guys. Yeah. And it would have been a great win for the standings. I don't know how much it would have done for the team to win that game. I have no clue.
Though. That's the thing, is it doesn't matter. At this point in the season, it doesn't matter.
No, I know. And you didn't win. Yeah. So to me, there's just, you can't have a conversation, because of what happened, you can't have a conversation about the comeback. It's a nothing burger to me.
Yeah, no, I don't think the conversation is about the comeback. I think it's around the circumstances around it. And, you know, yeah, I think there would have been a conversation if the Kings won, but since they didn't win, there isn't much of a conversation to be had. But if they would have won that game, I mean, yeah, we could talk about it all we want. Is it morally right? Is it, you know, should the NBA do something about these kind of situations where, you know, the Celtics are in a situation where they could help the Western Conference, but they don't really care? But, you know, yeah, the Kings didn't get the result, and so I don't really think there is a bigger conversation about it. I just think it would have been a nice stolen opportunity, but they couldn't even capitalize on that.
So. No. And, yeah, a lot of people on the Sack Chat and the text line are talking about Keegan more so than the Colby Jones no call, because that stuff is going to happen, and then there's going to be a two-minute report. Look, you know, I don't think we're hard on De'Aaron Fox on this show. I do think that we're just kind of realistic about everybody on this show. And I will say that De'Aaron in that game, he tried. He tried his darndest to get it done. So I'm going to give flowers to De'Aaron. And he didn't end up getting it done, but at least he put the team in a position where they could win it. Because if they do pull their starters and the Kings don't make any headway, then we would be saying
exactly
that's even more embarrassing, right? It's not embarrassing to lose the way that they lost. You had 9 minutes to try to make up all of the ground. I mean, that's the thing. You could actually separate that game into two parts. There's after the starters came out, but that shouldn't overshadow the fact that they got ran off the court with the Celtics starters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Missing some of their starters and rotation pieces.
Yeah.
So we can compartmentalize the fact that, hey, they put in the scrubs, you guys did what you were supposed to do, you almost got it done, but you didn't. But we understand that you really didn't even deserve that because of what happened with the starters. And I guess it's just and I guess it's just not even an indictment on the Kings. It's just us seeing in real time as we had on a Celtics writer that day on Friday that, yeah, they're just in another they're in another dimension.
Yes.
Shout out to the Eclipse. They're in another dimension and stratosphere than the Kings are right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Celtics are the best team in the NBA, head and shoulders above every single other team. But to me, I mean, yeah, the thing to focus on from that 20 to whatever run is the fact that Colby Jones was in it for the entirety of it. Like, he those were his minutes, were the Kings' run. He ended up plus minus. He was a plus 17, which was, again, just majorly through the that last part of the game. And then you see Colby Jones enter the rotation in the very next game. It is kind of a similar situation to what we saw earlier in the season against Houston, where those were the first minutes where we kind of saw Keon Ellis get to stretch his legs a bit. And I think, you know, as we talked about earlier, I do think that stretch towards the end of that Celtics game gave Mike Brown a lot of confidence in Colby Jones to, you know, yeah, Colby didn't put up crazy numbers in that stint, but the fact that he just seems to play in a winning style is something that I think is absolutely huge. And clearly Mike Brown really trusts him, because to go with him in that final stretch and then to play him early in yesterday's game, I kind of feel like, to wrap a bow on the Colby thing, like I think that he's legitimately going to be a piece that we see moving forward the rest of this year, kind of like we saw Alex Len do the same thing last year.
You're going to need it all. You're going to need it all for the rest of the season, and it's I think you're spot on. That's the correct takeaway from this, and really the only takeaway I have from it, besides, okay, the Celtics are really, really good, and I'd be surprised if they don't win it all, and also at least we know that Colby Jones might be a bigger part of this rotation moving forward. Now, does that change if Malik does come back sooner than we think? I guess we just have to stay tuned, because we know that this rotation has been a bit all over the place, and we understand why with injuries to Kevin Huerter. I mean, we continue to not gloss over the fact that Kevin Huerter is out, but, I mean, you lose a starter and then you lose a sixth man. That's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Huge.
And what Kevin Huerter did, even if it wasn't scoring-wise this season, it is that stability that you're missing. So we cannot mention that enough when breaking these things down. When we return, continuing the conversation, Keegan Murray can be so frustrating. Also breaking down Harrison Barnes. And could somebody from the Bay save the Kings in terms of keeping one Malik Monk? Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Shout out to all the winners of the VIP packages. See you tonight. Chris, I'm still going through the menu, okay? And I'm looking at the burgers here and the different burgers that you can get. What's your favorite type of cheese on a burger?
I usually go American.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't like to, you know, maybe Thank pepper you. Jack, but I
love an American. I love an American slice of cheese on my burger.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it definitely it just goes. I mean, it's so perfect, and you know, yeah, who doesn't love a nice cheesy burger? You know, you gotta have. Yeah, you probably haven't had a Squeeze In yet, have you? Sacramento staple. Squeeze In's got like the huge cheese skirt. It's like a massive, like, I mean, the bun goes here, but the skirt will like literally stick out of the bun.
Okay.
Like a solid 2 or 3 inches out of each side. I say all that to say I need as much cheese as possible on my burger.
See, I don't need all that.
Yeah, I need it.
I don't need all that, but when I choose a slice. Simone, what do you like on your burger, or anybody out there, vegan burger, veggie burger, what do you like on your burger?
No, I'm not just following suit here, but I also appreciate a nice American cheese.
There you go.
I think there's a lot of shame in it. That's why we're hesitant, because it's like, you know, it's processed.
Throw
why
a nice
would you have that?
Yeah, singlet on there.
Why don't you do cheddar instead? It's probably healthier.
But it probably is, but that's not why you know why I'm here. If I sit down and I'm going
to
watch a game and I'm already planning on eating poorly.
Yep.
Right? Or not eating healthy.
Yes.
Then I'm all in.
Yeah.
Then
Completely.
I'm all in.
I'm right
That's
there
like the
you.
Argument
wow.
of
yeah.
let me get a double-double or a 3x3 animal fries and a Diet Pepsi. Come on.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
No bun, though, please. I'm watching.
No bun.
I'm watching my finger,
you know what?
Please.
I'm a real sucker for the American white cheese, too. Whenever anyone has that, I'm like extra getting that one for some reason.
Before.
707. Cheddar or pepper jack, can't stand America.
All right. A purist, if you will.
Purist. Yeah. I hear you on that. I'm looking here, Chris, and I did have wings this past weekend, and you know the missus loves the classic buffalo, so I'm definitely getting lemon pepper tonight.
Yes, I think I got lemon pepper last week when I was there with Whitey. Definitely doesn't disappoint. I'll probably go with a buffalo today, but who knows? I think they have like their own field house special, so I might. You know, my dabble into that. I don't think I've had that before. So I've had their Fieldhouse fries, and it's got its own little unique, like, flavoring to it.
Sure.
So if it's anything like the fries, I definitely wouldn't be opposed to going wing style as well.
Got some salads as well. Spinach salad.
Who doesn't love
grilled
a good
chicken
salad?
Chop, traditional Caesar. I'm a sucker for traditional Caesar salads.
Like,
and if
Caesar
you want
sucker.
To bring the little ones, they got the Little Sluggers menu, chicken fingers, grilled cheddar cheese sandwich, and the Little League hamburger.
Do you
Let's
look
see.
Down on people who order like chicken tenders at like a bar restaurant? I've been looked down
chicken
on for just getting like chicken tender. If I'm just
is
like,
it on the kids menu?
It might be. That might be the only place where they have it housed.
If it's on the kids menu, then yeah. If it's chicken tenders,
so you
not
think
on the
you
kids
can't order a Happy Meal from McDonald's if you're not a child?
Ooh.
Because there's a lot of people who are just like, oh, the portion size is better for the Happy Meal.
You know what? I'm going to let people enjoy
things.
I'm going to let people enjoy things on this beautiful Monday, this Eclipse Monday.
That's right. That's right.
Shout out to the winners. We will see everybody out there. Chris, this is from the 916. Obviously, there's a puncher's chance we get out of the play-in.
Again.
But does anyone honestly believe the Kings will make it out of the play-in tournament? True serum. We have no shot, but I get that we have to pretend in the meantime. Wow. Come on, 916.
Jeez.
What is that?
I don't really know where to start with that. I mean, I would say that
they can get out.
I just want to make sure I read that right. Obviously, there's a puncher's chance we get out of the play-in, but does anyone honestly believe
that they will,
the Kings will make it out?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's a... Okay, hold on. Yes, I would say people believe. I have, I wouldn't even say I don't have belief. It's just, I think there's a lot of scarred Kings fans out there that just don't have faith that this team, based off of history alone, nothing really to tie in, though you could if you wanted to tie in the inconsistency of this year. But I think a lot of the lack of faith comes from just, this organization doesn't have a history of coming through in those moments. I think the individual team itself, if they play well enough, I think there's no reason why they can't beat the Lakers and the Warriors. It's not like those two teams are unstoppable this season. It's going to be a tough task for them to get out of the play-in, especially if they have to win two. But I really think, especially if they get that 7-8, I just full-heartedly believe that they'll make it out if they get the 7 or the 8 seed.
Well, I think what it is who's in. If it was today, you're dealing with two teams in which, let's be very honest here, the NBA would love to get into the playoffs in the Warriors and the Lakers.
Sure.
And the other
only
team.
Only one of them can make it, though.
Right. I know.
Between
right.
Those two.
So, but one of them,
yeah.
Right? And the other team is a team that the Kings have not beaten this season.
Sure.
So that's a problem.
It doesn't look great. It doesn't look great for them, but. You know, it's tough to beat a team. I'll just keep adding games. It's tough to beat a team for a fifth time in a row, you know?
Just
four,
keep going.
Four might be something, but
yeah.
You add another game. The law of averages here is going to average out at some point, right? Like, at some point, the Kings will have to beat the Pelicans. But, you know, yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be a tough task. You can lay it out however you want. It's going to be some version of the Kings have to get through one of Steph and LeBron and or Zion or KD or something. It's going to be a tough-looking task on paper, but, you know, these things aren't decided before the game. Like, as much as we like to joke around, for the most part, that the NBA rigs these things so the Warriors can make it and the Lakers can make it, I mean – the play-in tournament in its inception had, if I'm not mistaken, a Warriors-Grizzlies play-in game, which everyone would have said, why would the league want the Grizzlies to win? The Grizzlies beat the Warriors, and the Warriors missed out on the playoffs. So as unlikely as it seems that the NBA obviously wants teams like the Lakers and the Warriors and the Pelicans
right. I mean, they're
the
not going to be obvious and not give anybody a shot.
I mean, people are getting a little bit big eyes from, oh, KD, oh, Steph and LeBron and Lakers and Warriors. And, you know, it's the Kings. It's never going to sound like the Kings have the advantage. But I think if you're taking it off of face value and if you're just looking at who these teams are, why, besides the Pelicans, who, again, we know how that story has gone this year, why can't the Kings beat those teams?
As far as the actual gameplay is concerned, the Lakers worry me less than the Warriors. As far as the ref issue is concerned and the foul baiting and the foul merchantry is concerned, the Lakers worry me more.
9-0. Sabonis is 9-0 against Anthony Davis all the time.
All right.
That 10th game, though.
That 10th game. I don't even like that stat. I don't even want to talk about that stat.
I know.
And hopefully we're not even talking about the Kings having to deal with it or even the play-in if they can take care of some of this business here, which I think they can. And I'll tell you what, Keegan Murray has been very frustrating to me because it just feels like he had what happened in Boston. And I know he's only a second-year guy. There's a lot on his shoulders right now with the injuries. But he's frustrating because it almost felt like he was sleepwalking in Brooklyn. Then all of a sudden he turns it on and he finishes with 19 points. And I don't know, you said it late last week that it you know, hanging out with Harrison Barnes, good for just being a good person and being a good pro, as in a just a professional in general.
Right.
As far as on the court, not sure, because sometimes I'm watching and I'm looking at who's on the court.
Yeah.
And Keegan is just so, it looks disinterested. He's just sitting in the corner. I'm thinking, dude, what are you doing? And he's shooting when he's getting the ball.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking.
He's not demanding the ball.
No, he's not. And I'm thinking, you're just watching Keon and now Colby Jones and Davion pass the ball around.
Yeah.
No, go,
I mean,
get it.
I agree. I would love to see a lot more aggression. I mean, I was looking the other day at some of the sophomores. Obviously, Jalen Williams has had a massive, massive step forward. I just would like to see him be more aggressive. Like, and it does play a lot in for, like, I think a lot of it is his personality, and I don't know how they get over that hump, but I just think that's, to me, where Keegan just, he's, that's where he takes his leap. Like, I don't know if he can really take that leap into, like, right now, he's a really good top five pick. He's solid. But in order for that to be a home run hit, I think he's got to change his attitude or change his mentality of how he attacks these games, because he's got to recognize I am one of the 3 to 4 most talented players on my team on the floor right now. I can't let, you know, it's great to, yeah, let those guys get involved. Colby Jones, Davion, Keon, all those guys, let them get involved. But at the end of the day, like you said, Keegan Murray shouldn't go 4 minutes without taking a shot if he's out there. Like, I don't know what else. He is there to set this team over a certain hump, and if he's just going to be good, not great, I just don't know how much better this team can get. Like, the internal development this year was highly based on Keegan. He's made great strides developmentally, but at the same time, right now he needs to get into takeover mode. And yesterday he took, I think, the second or most shots on the team. He took he took a ton of shots in the game the other day. At the end of the game, but it just feels like there's not that steady presence of Keegan is just giving it to you the entire game, and I would like to see just more aggression.
Coming up next, we continue the conversation. Also, what is the point of two-minute reports? We're sick of them. And somebody from the Bay could be headed to a team originally targeting Malik Monk. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Coming up, after this segment, you will hear from David Sampson of Nothing Personal with David Sampson. Levitard Show, Meadowlark Media, also on CBS Sports Headquarters. One of the biggest interviews as it pertains to the A's move. It is doing numbers on YouTube, and want to give everybody a chance to hear that. Carmichael, Dave, and Jason Ross did an incredible job with David Sampson. We will play that coming up here at 12:45, and we will react to it, opening up the A's conversation. Zach Geloff had some things to say about Sutter Health, who literally played in that park. So that's all starting at 12:45, and then we will get back into Kings, some fair or foul to end the show, and some prop talk, as promised, for the national championship. Chris, continuing the conversation about Keegan and just the future of the Kings. So I saw this, and it's from Tim Kawakami of The Athletic, who is just about as plugged in as anyone when it comes to Bay Area sports and the Warriors. He goes on to say, one of the worst kept secrets in the league is that Orlando, loaded with young talent but not with shooters, might offer Clay a ton of money next summer. That's from Tim Kawakami. And there's no, I shouldn't say there's no way. It would be Clay or Malik, right? They wouldn't be able to throw the bag at both of them, would they?
Yeah, I don't believe so. I guess it kind of depends on what Clay is going to ask for, because what, he makes like $25 million or something? Or no, he
makes right now he makes 40-something. Like 40, yeah, but he's going to.
Draymond's contract.
Yes.
Draymond makes $25 million a year. And I think that's what people have said will probably be the model for what Golden State's going to offer Draymond or offer Clay. So I would guess it would probably have to be one or the other, because if you're going to pull Clay away from Golden State, I would imagine that number's got to be near 30 million. And looking at it here, the Magic do have a lot of money, 58 million projected in potential cap space. So I'm no cap expert. Maybe they could, but at the same time, I feel like they would probably choose one or the other. And even then, I don't know if Clay would go to Orlando.
I don't really get that on either side. And again, yeah. Tim Kawakami extremely plugged in.
Yeah.
But if you're Clay, why would you do that to end your career? Because I don't think that Orlando is a Clay Thompson away from competing for a championship.
I wouldn't say so.
And if you're the Magic, why would you take a Clay Thompson who's been up and down? At one point, he got benched.
Yeah.
And you're not a Klay Thompson away from a championship. So I don't know why either side would do this.
Doesn't really make any sense either way. Plus, like, Klay is not in their timeline at all.
That's
like,
what I'm saying. You
know, like, they got a bunch of mid-20s.
I mean, you're looking at, a three-year deal. I mean, Klay is 32.
Yeah. And he's not, yeah. I mean, and he's on his downhill. Like, he's definitely not getting better. So I'd be pretty surprised if that's the route Klay decides to go. I mean, the only way I could see that happening is truly if they just offer him an insane amount of money. But like you said, I don't know why they would – that would mean that they would believe that they are a Klay Thompson away, and I don't know why you would believe that.
Yeah, if anything, I mean, the rumor that's always been because of his pops with the Lakers.
Exactly.
They might be a Klay Thompson away from from making some real noise when you have a LeBron and an Anthony Davis. But, yeah, I understand why this would come up, but if I'm Orlando, it's Malik Monk for me.
Yeah, I would think so. He just kind of fits it a bit better. Maybe they're concerned about height. Like, if you're going to run Jalen Suggs and Malik as your backcourt, there's not a ton of size, and obviously Klay is like a 6'7 body. Mm-hmm. But Klay is not the same defender he used to be. He's a streaky shooter. Because that's the other thing, too, is like what number would you say option Klay is? In that he's not one. Paolo Banchero is going to be number one.
Not one. Franz.
He's two. Like maybe some nights he can slip in.
If Klay is two, you're not doing anything. I'm sorry.
I've got nothing to add.
And I mean that as respectfully as possible.
Yeah.
If Klay is your number two, what are we talking about here?
I don't know. Yeah. So I don't really know what the win would be. I would love it if Orlando pursues Klay. That's one less team that I think the Kings have to worry about because I think Malik is going to be somebody who's like, I want to be your priority. I don't care where I'm going. I want to feel like I'm wanted. And if you're going to mess around with wanting Klay more than me, then you might as well sign me off.
Because exactly.
I'm not going to be second. Much like Vivek said the other day, I don't think Malik's going to play second fiddle to anybody.
He shouldn't have to because it won't. That's only one team. You would still have the Spurs.
You got Philly. You got Sacramento, obviously. You've got other contenders.
But hope Orlando is interested in Klay because that's just one less team for Malik Monk. But I did find that interesting. And it's always interesting, the timing. And it's always funny to me how this stuff comes out because Klay's had some good games. He's back in the starting lineup. He bought out yesterday as well with Steph out, and it's always just funny. And now all of a sudden,
could be leverage. Could be leverage on an owner or an agent reach out to Tim Kawakami and say, float this out there, and it only helps Klay, right? Like if there's competition, much like we're about to talk about with this A's Kings or Sacramento situation, competition is going to bring in as much money as possible. And if you're Klay Thompson, if the Warriors believe that no one else wants Klay as much as we want Klay, so we can offer Klay half of what he's currently getting paid and we'll be great. Well, if Orlando is going to be another suitor and throw, $28 million at Klay, maybe Klay can go to Golden State and say, maybe I will leave.
Yeah.
It might not make sense, but whatever, I'll go. It's Florida. I get to chill. It's a good team still. It'll be a chapter where I get to separate my legacy away from Steph. Like, there's some positives behind it if the money's right. So
plenty of water out there.
Plenty of water out there. Boats galore.
Take his boat anywhere he wants to go. Yeah. They have to either move off of Kuminga to get another big name in there.
Jeez. Yeah.
Or they break up the big three. Those are the two options.
Yeah. I don't think you can run it back. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense.
It makes less sense than the Kings running it back.
Yeah, no, it totally does. Like,
in a general sense, who do you think most teams would rather have right now, Malik Monk or Klay Thompson?
I would say Malik feels like the easier answer, but there might be some two smart GMs that are like, you know, I want Clay because of the winning. Mm-hmm. I know what he can be on a winning team kind of thing. But I would think Malik should be the easy answer.
Yeah, I feel like it is Malik, but we might have purple colored glasses.
Yeah,
on
exactly.
And when you're talking about a six man versus a Clay who right. got benched.
Yeah.
And is now back, who was a six man yeah. because he got benched.
Yeah.
And now he's back starting.
But we've also had conversations of, like, earlier in this season, let's not forget, like, we were like Kevin Huerter or Klay Thompson. Like, it's been bad for Klay.
It's been bad.
There's been some really, really, yeah. like, you're not, and this is the Klay Thompson right here, like, the past year. We're talking about, again, like you said, maybe a three-year contract for Klay mm-hmm. people are talking about. And it, to me, it's really similar to the Draymond situation where it's like, you know, I maybe would have been interested in Draymond on a 1, maybe a 2-year contract, but you're saying 3 to 4 years down the line, having these guys that already have shown a ton of regression, and yeah, Klay is 32, but those knees aren't 32. Like, he's played more basketball games than just about anybody else.
Klay's 34. 34? I thought he was 32.
Go. Yeah, I mean, like, those are not all those miles that he's accumulated throughout the years. I don't know if I would bet on Klay from age 35 to 37, 38. That's not at $20+ million per year.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think this is some leverage.
It's got to be.
For the Warriors.
It's got to be. I mean, you know, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And it'll be interesting for the Warriors because the Warriors have to, and they were confronted with this decision last offseason and decided to double down. Will they triple down? Like, are you going to continue to run this thing back and try and squeeze one more out of these three? Or are you going to do what probably most sober people looking at the situation would do and say, you got to move on. Like, you have to move on. There's no justifiable reason besides vibes for keeping Klay at that dollar figure. At yeah. a smaller number, it makes a ton of sense. But you can't pay Klay for the guy that he was. You have to pay him for the guy he's going to be. And that's the biggest mistake every GM will make.
I'm taking Malik Monk. When we come back, we will hear from David Sampson, who was on the Carmichael Dave with Jason Ross show, and just a really good conversation. We'll break that down in all things A's. Chris, real quick, from Front Office Sports, the Phoenix Mercury are marketing their game against the Indiana Fever yeah. as the GOAT versus the Rook before Caitlin Clark has even been drafted. That's what I told y'all. Yeah. That doesn't happen with Kumbaya.
That's also an interesting factor as well, as Diana Taurasi is kind of like, she's already stepping on my territory. Like, I had just locked down this WNBA GOAT conversation and, you know, she hasn't even played a game and people are already trying to step on my territory.
There you go. Coming up next, we'll hear the interview from David Sampson. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Fieldhouse American Sports Pub. That's where you can find us. From 5 to 7, maybe even a little after. I'll ask the missus if I can stay out late if we're having a good time and really just seeing what's going to happen with UConn and Purdue. So be sure to get out there. I will be stuffing my face and beating Chris at some shuffleboard.
It's not happening.
As promised, David Sampson, Metalark Media, was with our Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross in an incredibly in-depth conversation about this A's situation. We will react to it at 1 o'clock, but we're going to play it for you right now.
Hard to believe he's down in LA right now, hosting Rich Eisen's show today. I probably got most of that right. David Sampson joins us. David, it's Dave, it's Jason. Good morning, and thank you. I know you're busy for joining us this morning.
At my main show is nothing personal at 8 a.m. Eastern, so you got everything right. And I'm so happy when you reached out, because what you guys are going through, you're getting a major league team, but you want to know, do I feel good about it? Do I feel guilty about it? How should I feel? And I'd love to get you on the therapist couch and tell you that it's okay to feel good about having Major League Baseball in Sacramento.
Well, I think, and I know you know this, but just to frame the conversation, there's two things. I'll just speak for me. I'm struggling hard with the Oakland situation and if we're deleveraging Oakland in any way and helping break those fans' hearts and assisting John Fisher, which is worse. But secondly, and as you know this, David, we went through a relocation issue with the Sacramento Kings about 10, 12 years ago. And I feel a little bit hypocritical. I'm just being honest. I'm on your couch, so help me out there.
everything you feel is exactly normal. And the problem is that as a fan, we bring you with us on the roller coaster. And I really hated doing that when I was getting a ballpark done in Miami, when I was threatening relocation, when I was using Vegas as a possible leverage point to move the team. But the reason I had to bring the fans on the roller coaster is it was the only way to get the politicians to understand the game that I was playing, which is I want money to get this ballpark done because everyone else got money who I'm competing with. So fans, unfortunately, are brought on this ride, and you represent the fans. So let's talk about your guilt first very quickly. Mm-hmm. I totally get that. However, the benefit that you're doing is you have put yourself in a position to be in a city that was willing to take a team that in theory, there's about 15 or 18 major league teams that draw from areas, Sacramento, Oakland, pretty normal. You go to a Cardinals game, a Cubs game, a White Sox game, other than Florida where you'd have to come from the water, there's people who drive to games all the time. So keeping them close by is good. Secondly, leverage. You're not hurting the chances of the team staying in Oakland long term. You're not guaranteeing the team stays in Sacramento long term. But most importantly, you're not opening the door for them to move to Vegas. This Sacramento deal has nothing to do with the Vegas deal. You are simply taking advantage of the opportunity that you have now.
Okay. Hmm. All right.
Did that help a little bit or no? A little bit. I know we're all, and the thing is, we're processing all of this. There's a lot of emotions, David, from people that are genuinely excited to people that are completely frustrated. And I think that on the side of those that are frustrated are probably looking at it the way of the departure of the A's, the way the last couple of years have been of the A's, the way they are currently being operated, thinking that it's also going to be operated the same way here. I think a lot of people are frustrated with A's ownership. So how do we compartmentalize maybe being excited of seeing baseball here in the capital city, but also this version of the A's?
Here's what made me crazy yesterday, and I talked about a little bit on Nothing Personal, but I'll go into more detail with you guys. When you do a press conference announcing this, you're talking about being in Sacramento for 3 years, maybe 4 years. What about the team? Why was there no mention of, listen, we're in the middle of a rebuild, but we expect to have a window over these 3 years where we hope to have a competitive team in the American League West? Or say, listen, we're at the beginning of our rebuild, but we are hoping that we have young players who you will love to watch because you're a community that's used to watching great young players in minor league baseball. Talk to me about the team other than saying that this is a audition for permanent team, which is what Vivek said, the owner of the Kings, in his press conference, or John Fisher just saying, hey, we're just so happy to be here. Sorry, Oakland. I wanted a little more meat on the bone, and they just didn't do it.
Now, I don't know how – I mean, I know obviously you're very familiar with John Fisher as an owner. I wonder if part of that and that's another part of my reticence here, David, is, you know, what he and Dave Cavill – have how they have kind of treated these fans over the last few years. And the fact that this is, and I'm not joking here, I mean, this is arguably a major league team. It's more like a quad A team. They're losing money in the Comcast deal. Fisher, whether it's baseball or his MLS San Jose Earthquakes, doesn't seem to show that he's willing to spend any money. So why as a fan am I thinking, you know, I said yesterday, I think this will be a 100-win team over 3 years. Why should I feel any differently about that?
I've never heard that one before. That's outstanding. 100-win team over 3 years. That's not very good.
No, no.
Historically bad. I'm going to use that. I may use that one.
You absolutely like can.
So let me ask you this. When you're taking, I don't know if you have children or if you take your employees out. When you're taking your child to a game, you're making a memory. You're having an opportunity to see Major League Baseball. I don't think that it matters who the owner is and who the president is. And it's not a popularity contest. They've got to do whether they're doing it well or not. We could argue. But don't sacrifice the chance to make a memory with your family, because at the end of the day, no one will care who the owner was of the game you went to. They'll care about the experience that you had.
talking with David Sampson. One of the things I'm trying to understand, David, is kind of MLB's part of this. So no relocation fee, I think, draws a lot of people's attention.
Terrible.
Why would that happen? And so, again, clear this up if I'm wrong on this. Like, it feels like Major League Baseball wants them out of Oakland. I think they obviously want out of Oakland. So maybe as a general question, if this was your team, like, would any other owner take a deal to be in Oakland? Is this an Oakland problem or is this a different problem?
It's a different problem. When I went to Miami from Montreal, no one wanted to be in Miami. As a matter of fact, the executive who just passed away, Larry Lucchino, had told baseball that Miami will never get a new ballpark. And so they said, all right, we'll send Laurie and Sampson there and see if they can do it. It took us 9 years to do it. No, it's not an Oakland problem. And let's be clear, baseball would prefer the team to stay in Oakland. It really is actually an expansion problem. The owners are pressuring the commissioner to get to expansion as quickly as possible because of the influx of money that it will be for expansion fees, which will be split 30 ways. And they know you can't do expansion until Tampa and Oakland have their stadium situations dealt with, no matter where they are. And what the owners felt was that giving up the relocation fee to Vegas would be the fastest way to get the deal done in Vegas faster, to get a building built faster in order to get to expansion faster. But it totally got screwed up because not only is there no expansion relocation fee, but then they eliminate Vegas as an expansion city if the team moves there. But now they get to add maybe Oakland and maybe Sacramento. So the interesting thing to me is, are Oakland and Sacramento going to compete for an expansion team if, in fact, the team that's currently the A's goes to Vegas? Because what the owner of the Kings was saying very clearly is, listen, this is an audition for us, and we want to prove to baseball that we can be a major league city. So that, when you're thinking about what makes you feel guilty, imagine competing with Oakland where only one of you two could get a major league team.
And that sets up a fascinating showdown, possibly, between Vivek Ranadive and his former majority owner with the Warriors, Joe Lacob, who's on record saying he's
beautiful.
It really is Shakespearean. Now, the quote, David, here is from Vivek yesterday. Quote, the longer-term play is that I've been having conversations with MLB and Rob Manfred. They will introduce two new franchises, one in the West, one in the East. And I think we're really in pole position to get the one in the West. So this for us is a showcase. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't think we know the answer, but your instinct, that seems to me like a quote Rob Manfred probably didn't want make public.
I would say that may be the greatest understatement that you'll have in your show today.
Okay.
The fact that he's the spokesperson confirming what, of course, is true.
Sure.
We've been talking about expansion. I've been out of the game since 2017 when Derek Jeter jettisoned me. I was on a committee that was talking about expansion. This is 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And it, of course, will be a city in the East and the West. But for the owner of the Kings to be the mouthpiece through which it's said is so absurd that really what he did maybe is guarantee that Sacramento won't get an expansion team. Yeah. Because one thing that owners do is they keep track of what potential owners are saying publicly. And the biggest word of advice that a potential owner is given by current owners is shut your yapper.
Yep.
Don't talk about anything publicly because you won't get the 23 votes that you need to accomplish what you want.
It's like asking for an Augusta National membership.
Exactly.
You don't do it.
Exactly.
Right. David, on that expansion thought, was Sacramento even mentioned? Because I don't know that we'd heard it here. Was that even a possibility on anybody's radar back when you were with the Marlins?
No, and that's what's so great about it, because the more cities that are possible, the higher the fee is going to be. You want cities bidding against each other. And that's why in my head, it would be fascinating for Oakland and Sacramento to actually be going against each other, which I don't think would be to the benefit of the people in Northern California. Because basically when you're doing that, you're saying, okay, I'll give MLB, I'll give you $1 billion. I'll give you $1.1 billion. I'll build a stadium for $1.3 billion. And so you just keep bidding it up while the owners sit there and say, okay, good, keep going, keep going. And the reason we know this is go back to Washington when the Expos moved. Washington built Nationals Park. They paid for the entire thing, which enabled the owners of the Nationals to pay baseball for that franchise a very, very high number that is more than what the team was worth.
David, I know you're very, very busy. We got about 30 seconds because I want to get you out of here. He's got a bunch of other stuff going on today, obviously. Just real quick, Las Vegas, there is a ballot initiative trying to get this ballot initiative for the $325 million subsidy on the ballot. Does it serve Sacramento's interests if they want to block John Fisher from going somewhere and possibly induce a sale? Is there anything to getting behind the fundraising for that initiative? It's kind of dirty pool, but you and I both know if that gets on the ballot, it ain't passing.
Correct. Things, ballots don't pass. You saw it in Kansas yep. City, and in 20 seconds or fewer, don't do that. If you're Sacramento, let it play out, because the deal in Vegas has so many other problems. The ballot initiative is like number 7 on the list. So I think you just sit it out and let the deal implode on its own. You don't want to be the cause of that.
Okay. You got to go. I'd love to talk to you again. We're big fan. Great convo. And you know what the hell you're talking about. Thank you so much for your time.
I'm looking forward to the next time. Have a great day.
You too, David. That is David Sampson, former president of Miami Marlins.
Reacting to all of that, when we get back, Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.